latest episode of The Newsreel. I'm your host, Zach Dennis, here with my co-host, Brian Welk, and we're wiping off the cobwebs and coming out for Oscar season. Brian, it's been a while, but we couldn't leave you guys hanging for the big day. The Golden Statue, you know, stops for nobody, and it's the same for The Newsreel podcast.
Yeah, we're not back yet, so to speak. I think we're still kind of in hibernation mode, but we're peeking our heads out. You know, we had to talk about this a little bit. So
we're like Jon Stewart whenever he pops up on Colbert. It's like Jon Stewart's not back.
Colbert's desk.
Yeah, he's not back, but he's making an appearance. That's what we're doing.
Our guest today is Jon Stewart.
Yeah, exactly.
He's going to talk Oscars with us and his last movie, Rosewater, that did not get nominated for Oscars. We got to talk the Oscars, and we got to, you know, just like address the award season, because this is a big deal. And we've missed a lot of big stories so far in the first month here, the first couple weeks. I mean, I think the big update is that, you know, all this Kevin Hart saga with the Oscars, we didn't really talk about that at all. The long story short is he's not hosting the Oscars, and no one is hosting the Oscars. And I guess we might have some thoughts on that, but first I think we got to run down just these nominees and our overall thoughts and best picture itself.
Yeah.
Because it's been a long time coming, and this is going to be a really tight, close race coming down to the wire here. I don't know if anyone can honestly say what is going to win at this stage.
Yeah. Well, let's go ahead and jump in. We will start with best picture, and the nominees for that are Black Panther, Black Klansman, Bohemian Rhapsody, The Favorite, Green Book, Roma, A Star Is Born, and Vice. So looking at that, Brian, it's like you said, it's going to be tough to make of what the winner could be from here. I know that a lot of people have already started leaning a little bit toward Green Book after it won at the PGA Awards, but you know, it seems like it's also a very open field. We talked a little bit around the Golden Globes about Bohemian Rhapsody. You also just kind of have these picks such as The Favorite and Roma, which had a lot of nominations. They both came away with 10 each. So it's wide open. I know even A Star Is Born was one that people really attributed to being the best picture winner way back when it came out late last year. So just looking at it right now, what are your feelings, and are you happy with this field of movies?
Well, of all the movies that you just listed there, the one that I think could potentially win is the one you didn't mention, and that's Black Klansman. Black Klansman is the only movie in the entire field that actually has nominations like across all of the guilds, and now is in Best Picture, which is a real surprise. And it's honestly like the least controversial or least polarizing movie in the entire thing, which is amazing considering it's a Spike Lee movie called Black Klansman. You know, it's amazing that this movie hasn't had the backlash or anything, and whereas every other movie in this field has and has got people upset for one reason or another. So I think that movie could honestly be the winner. And of course, you can't rule out Vice. You can't rule out The Favorite, which had a really good showing. And like you said, all these other ones, Green Book popped up. Roma still has the critical love and has been doing very well with the guilds, and we'll see how it plays out in a few of these other fields. A Star Is Born is the one that seemed to have taken the big step back, and which is a shame.
And I don't think it will win, but it's worth mentioning with Black Panther that it's a movie that came out super early last year. You know, it came out in February or March. I'm blanking on the exact month, but it's been a movie that's been kind of in the consciousness since then. Like, people have been thinking about or talking about in some way, even if it's not the number one story, but people have been kind of keeping that in conversation all year. It also helps that it's been sitting on Netflix, which I think is an effect, especially with some audiences, that does play well when you have this constant access to the movie. And I don't see it being the winner, but at the same time, it's been it kind of reminds me of Get Out last year mm-hmm. when it was it's a movie that came out early, but just kind of keeps hanging around as a movie that people are talking about. And so I don't think you should sleep on that storyline as well.
And it's because that movie taps into the zeitgeist, and it's the most popular movie of the year. It's an important cultural statement that then, I mean, Marvel movies always are in the conversation. So if you don't think that Marvel is going to make a huge push for an Oscar, for an actual win in the next month here, you're sadly mistaken. So I think it could, but unfortunately we didn't see a nomination for Ryan Coogler or for Michael B. Jordan, which if those had happened, then I think we'd be saying a very different story and that Black Panther could very easily win. But this is going to be a really close race. What we haven't talked about is the big elephant in the room that's not in the room, which is If Beale Street Could Talk, which seemed like the most plausible ninth nominee. There were a lot of others that people love. I mean, you and I have both discussed our best movies of the year, and there's a lot of movies that we each adore. But if Beale Street Could Talk seemed like the one that had a lot of passion among Oscar voters and scored a couple key nominations, including for Regina King and for Barry Jenkins, but did not show up here. And it's just, it's frustrating that Green Book, you know, gets in as the movie about racism, about, you know, institutionalized racism in this country and about Black people when you have this other great movie sitting right there. And I think it's the fact that they have eight nominees and you very easily could have 10 that people love that could have, you know, easily gotten in that have that much passion. And just, I think people are frustrated with this flexible number of nominees.
Yeah, I mean, and maybe I'm you know, completely off with this kind of theory, but I feel like, and this is just my theory on Beale Street, and it's completely not dealing with really the movie at all, but it is distributed by Annapurna, which is kind of a studio in flux. It doesn't seem like it's been getting the kind of political push, you know, political in terms of like getting its name out there a lot as much as some of these movies that we're looking at in this field right now. And I feel like maybe that might have been because it has this kind of up in the air situation by its distributor, while everybody else kind of was much more firm and was able to kind of streamline a campaign. But again, maybe that's just a wild theory that's making up excuses for the movie.
Well, Vice is an Annapurna movie too, and that movie had no problem getting nominated.
But that's about a bunch of white people. So
yeah,
it's about white people, and I'll get into the atrocity that is Vice later.
Well, what's amazing is that Barry Jenkins and La La Land, or excuse me, Barry Jenkins and Damien Chazelle were the battling.
No, his name's
two
La La
years
Land.
Ago. His name is La La Land. Damien La La Land Chazelle. These two directors were in the race this year, and you could have had that rematch or something. And First Man also disappeared. I almost, that movie got really snubbed at the Oscars. Like, I don't even know if it got any. Or yeah. It got some technical.
And it's surprising because it's not a movie that I loved. I liked his other movies, or last two movies, way more than First Man. But at the same time, I think First Man is wildly better than a lot of these movies that are nominated. So
I think that movie will have a big reassessment in the years to come once people have kind of forgotten about the whole flag debacle that surrounded that movie. And once it kind of gets out of this Oscar season, I think a lot of people will look at this movie a bit more fondly again, because it did score a couple nominations for its technical awards, but it even got shut out of Best Supporting Actress for Claire Foy, and it missed Best Original Score, and that could have been a front runner for Justin Hurwitz. So very surprising how people have turned on First Man.
Yeah, well, we're going to move on, but shotgun to your face, you got a name, you got to call one. What is your best picture call?
Roma.
I'll be happy with that. I'm cynical. It's going to be Green Book, and it's going to make people vomit. So
I hope it's, yeah, that would make me vomit as well. I mean, I think Black Klansman would be my preferred choice, and then immediately followed by Roma. And I finally saw Vice too just yesterday. Not a fan of that one either. So it's kind of surprising that we have three of the eight here that I'm just not a fan of. Usually it's a better ratio.
Yeah. Well, let's move on to director, and it is a sausage fest yet again, because, you know, it's not too shocking. But we have Alfonso Cuarón for Roma, Yorgos Lanthimos for The Favourite, Spike Lee for Black Klansman, Adam McKay in quotation marks for directing Vice, and Pawel Pawlowski, which I'm sure you're very excited about, for Cold War. Kind of a shocker to me. I know that one was a big foreign player, but I'm surprised he got the director nod. But yeah, I think that this one is another, you know, pretty strong race. You have people like Alfonso Cuarón, you have Spike Lee, who are big, very prestigious names among this group. Yorgos, I feel like, is kind of, you know, kind of on the rise. Reminds me a little bit of Luca Guadagnino from last year, this on the rise Euro director. Adam McKay continues to get accolades for holding a camera in front of people for some reason. And then Cold War is an impeccably directed movie, so I'm excited to see at least a director for a foreign director that's not like kind of a mainstream American movie get nominated. But what did you make of this field?
Well, I'll give Adam McKay some credit, first of all, in saying that despite Vice's shortcomings and what I think is kind of a mess of a movie, I think it has a clear and distinct style that it's something like, say, if Peter Farrelly got into this race, would just boggle the mind to me, which he did in the DGA. So I thought there was a genuine possibility. And the fact that he didn't make it into Best Director is shocking. The name you didn't mention also is Bradley Cooper, who, again, you know, proved that he can direct the hell out of a movie. But he also got the DGA, but he's sitting on the sidelines for this, and he'll just have to settle with his Best Actor nomination. What's exciting about this field, first of all, Spike Lee, for the first time ever getting nominated. It's just groundbreaking. It's amazing to me that a guy like Spike Lee, who's already received an honorary Oscar for his work, had never been nominated, and maybe he could win. I think Cuarón will win again. But what's also exciting is that this is the first time that the first time that two foreign films, directors of foreign films, both Roma and Cold War, were nominated in this category. So that's pretty surprising.
Yeah, no, it's incredibly surprising. And, you know, the Cuarón one is not as, you know, I've seen a lot of articles writing about how much Netflix is pushing that movie for the Oscars. But I think Cold War especially it's curious because, like I said, you know, Yorgos isn't as, even though he's a non-American director, he at least is directing something for an American company, and so it's not as shocking. But even though Roma and Cold War are Netflix and Amazon movies, they feel more indebted to like what you would see on the in the foreign film category coming out of different
countries.
Well,
they just bankrolled them. Yeah. They just distributed them. They're not the financiers of these movies, you know. They could have easily been on another thing, but they, you know, other companies don't necessarily have the money to push them into the Oscar race as they've been. Cold War especially, I mean, did better than I had thought it had any reason to do, getting a third nomination for cinematography as well, for its black and white, just gorgeous cinematography, well deserved. So, I mean, again, yeah, one of my favorite movie of the year. I'm thrilled to see that it got that much.
Moving on to Best Actress, we have Yalitza Aparicio from Roma, we have Glenn Close from The Wife, which I guess is a movie, we have Olivia Colman from The Favorite, Lady Gaga with A Star Is Born, and Melissa McCarthy with Can You Ever Forgive Me. You know, there are some, I'm sure some snubs that we can point out, but I feel like a pretty solid list, even though I still do not believe that Glenn Close was actually in a movie this year. But, you know, whatever. That's fine.
You know, she's been making such a huge push, and I think she could genuinely win now because, you know, when she won at the Golden Globes and when she gave her speech, that movie kind of rocketed to the top of everybody's watch list. People really did want to check this movie out, and I think people have come around to it. I was not a fan of this movie, and I didn't necessarily understand what the buzz was about Glenn Close's performance, other than that she's doing Glenn Close stuff. She's always great, but she's so, you know, endearing and warm and grateful on this awards circuit. I think she could easily win. Yalitza getting nominated is so exciting. Melissa McCarthy, Olivia Colman's also delightful and charming and deserves everything she's been getting. She probably is still the front runner. Gaga, just exciting. And Melissa McCarthy gives a great performance. I mean, again, like, I guess I can talk about this at the end, but if we want to wrap up the thing. Yeah, I will. I'll save my kind of overall thoughts for the end. Let's keep going.
I don't know if we should do the overall thoughts halfway through. That throws us all out of whack.
Do you, Zach? Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. We can just drop the bomb in the middle. Best actor, we got Christian Bale for Vice, Bradley Cooper for A Star Is Born, Willem Dafoe for At Eternity's Gate, Rami Malek for Bohemian Rhapsody, and Viggo Mortensen for Green Book. Seems pretty much like the field that, I kind of expected. Of course, I would have loved to see Ethan Hawke for First Reformed, but we do not live in a just and loving world, so this is what we get. But yeah, best actor, what did you make of this?
Well, yeah, Ethan Hawke should be in here, and he's not, and that's a damn shame. I mean, bravo to Willem Dafoe. I spoke with him this morning, and he was great to talk to, and he really cares deeply about this movie. That just, you know, breaks my heart that Ethan Hawke didn't get in, and it's one of these things that, you know, I'll save it for the end. The rest of the field is more or less as we expected, and Dafoe is the surprise, and I don't know who would win this, honestly.
Like, I don't see Vice really running away with a lot of stuff, but I could see Christian Bale winning this just because if people talk about anything with Vice, they talk about his performance and the costume work.
He's just remarkable. He really does disappear into that role, and I can't believe what he looks like. But I would probably give it to Rami. I think he'll win. Not that I think he necessarily gives the best performance of the year or anything, but he's been on a roll. I think this is his year to lose.
Well, best supporting actress, we have Amy Adams for Vice, Marina de Tavira for Roma, Regina King for If Beale Street Could Talk, and then Emma Stone and Rachel Weisz for The Favorite. I know, Brian, we talked a little bit about, The Favorite, kind of that acting pool between these two and Olivia Colman. It worked out. All three of them got in. But do you feel like maybe one should have not got in? Do you feel like somebody's getting snubbed here, or is all good in the world because Stone, Weisz, and Colman are nominated?
I'm gonna go with the latter. Yes, all is good in the world. I totally get the frustration that these two actresses who are gigantic stars and could plausibly be the lead actors in this movie are crowding this field and pushing out two other potential names, but all three give great, you know, incredible performances and deserve to be in this field. So yes, bravo. I don't know if they'll win or if one of them, you know, surprises. I think Regina King will still win. And if she didn't get nominated, there would have been the outrage, and there was a possibility when she got snubbed for the SAG award, but she did make it in, and Marina also got in. So this was a better year for diversity, but not such a great year for women, because we didn't see women get nominated in the major categories. Although if you did an actual count, and I wrote a story about this today, the overall count of women in all of the below the line categories, all of the categories overall, is actually a slight uptick up from last year. So that is a positive, and I think the a few more people of color that were unexpected, you know, popping up in some of these fields is a good sign. Mark Harris said something this morning that, you know, the way the new Academy voting body is set up is that it's going to design to recognize people from a lot of different stripes, and it's going to recognize some each year's and others it won't be. And this was the bad year for women, and next year will be the bad year. You know, maybe, or last year was the bad year for, say, people of color or whatever. You know, it's things will even out, and the directing field just needs to be fixed on its own, because the pool of people that vote for directors is much smaller than the broader academy. So even if the academy is pretty well diverse, it's that directing field is still largely a boys' club, and that's why you get the five you get, and you don't get the many plausible women who could fill in that fifth spot. So
no, it's something that I feel like we'll probably be watching on a year-to-year basis, and we'll see. And like you said, I think you're right that each year is a little bit is either going to be better or worse than the next, and it'll just be something they kind of monitor. Let's move on real quickly to the last of the kind of big core nominations, and that's the Best Supporting Actor field. We have Mahershala Ali for Green Book, Adam Driver for Black Klansman, Sam Elliott for A Star Is Born, Richard E. Grant for Can You Ever Forgive Me, and Sam Rockwell for Vice. I feel like this is a pretty solid supporting actor. You know, it seemed a lot of the names that we kind of saw over and over again as the projected ones. I don't understand the Sam Rockwell for Vice one really at all. I mean, I'm sorry. Like, it's a okay performance. It's fine. But it's not...
And he's not in it that much.
He's not in it that much. I mean, and this is kind of a left field one. I didn't expect him to get nominated, but Steven Yeun in Lee Chang-dong's Burning is honestly one of the best performances overall of the year. And he, if you kind of wanted to go for a left field, you know, mix it up a little bit with a pick, Steven Yeun's performance in that movie would have been perfect for Best Supporting Actor. But, you know, I guess keep the ball rolling with Sam Rockwell, it seems like. But what did you make of this?
I would have loved to see, you know, Michael B. Jordan get in for his work in Black Panther. I mean, I would have even liked to see Steve Carell ahead of Sam Rockwell after seeing the movie, because I think he just had a more substantive part in that. Richard E. Grant, I also spoke with this morning, and he's just overjoyed. This is his first ever Oscar nomination. It's not just that. This is like the first movie he's ever been nominated for, period. Like, that's what he said to me. He's like, I'm 62 and I've been working, you know, my whole life, and I've never been nominated for anything in my life. And I thought, that can't be true. And I looked, there's nothing. Like, he was nominated among the cast for Gosford Park, and it's a Robert Altman movie, so there's like 100 people in it that are all, you know, have a gigantic role.
Well, you should have told him I would have nominated him for his work in Dom Hemingway a couple years ago, because he's fantastic in that.
I couldn't believe how many movies he's been in that as I was just scrolling through his filmography, and I literally watched a Game of Thrones with him last night before I spoke with him. I'm like, oh my God, that's Richard E. Grant. So I hope he wins. Although I think Adam Driver, Sam Elliott are both great, and I think Mahershala will win again.
Yeah, I feel like Mahershala, yeah, is probably the leader, but Sam Elliott also kind of has that grizzled, you know, been on the road a long time, kind of feel good old player.
It's the Jeff Bridges like makeup call award. Like, okay, we need to give this to him now. You know,
exactly.
Then, yeah, and Richard E. Grant is going for the same narrative, but he's just not Sam Elliott.
Yeah, he's not Sam Elliott. That's too bad. Well, we have a bunch of other categories that we could sit here and just kind of go through, but I'm going to kind of just open it up to both of us to point out some nominations, either, you know, positive or negative, that kind of came out of the rest of the field. I mean, as we talked about in our Best of the Year episode, very happy at least to see a screenplay nomination for First Reformed. In that, I was not super impressed with the original score category. I mean, If Beale Street Could Talk is the winner, but I feel like it'll get snubbed in some way, but that's the winner for best score. We'll probably talk a little bit about documentaries in a little bit, so I'll save that for you. Animated feature, I was happy to see Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, even though I'm sure one of the Disney films will take that spot. And then really, this is just the random one, but I was so like, it put a smile on my face that when a cowboy trades his spurs for wings, the song performed by Tim Blake Nelson in The Ballad of Buster Scruggs got Best Original Song, or a nomination for that, because it's a super silly song and I love it. So I was happy for that. But what about you? What, anything pop out to you in the other categories?
The best documentary. I mean, Won't You Be My Neighbor? Where is it? I suspect, first of all, these are, well, I haven't seen Hale County this morning, this evening, or Of Fathers and Sons, but the other three movies, oh wait, I actually haven't seen RBG either. Never mind. I just don't know where that movie, that's, as you know, one of my favorites, and so is Minding the Gap and Free Solo. They're both great, but I wonder if that was like the perceived front runner and just not enough people voted for it thinking it was safe. And then they gave their first spot to Hale County this morning or Of Fathers and Sons. And then suddenly, whoops, you know, no nomination for Mr. Rogers. That's what I suspect. I already talked about being surprised by the cinematography nomination for Cold War, which I'm very, very happy about.
Yeah, they were super into black and white cinematography this year. Between that and in Roma, they were really digging that.
Yeah, and Never Look Away, a foreign film, got nominated in the Best Cinematography. There's three films from the Best Cinematography field that got nominated.
I mean, surprised Beale Street lost and or didn't get in on that one. Also, I know that people have been big fans too. Of Laxton's. Yeah,
yeah, that's a shame. The foreign language category is very good. Capernaum and Shoplifters are both great. I'll have to see Never Look Away. The songs thing, this is going to be fun. It's going to be fun seeing all these performances.
Like, it's going to be so much fun seeing Tim Blake Nelson do when a cowboy trades a Spurs for wings. All the other ones will be fine, but that one especially is going to be fantastic.
Exactly. So, you know, okay, so overall, you know, my take on this is that when you're sitting from our point of view, if you've watched the kind of race, you know, for a while, you look at it and you end up thinking like, well, this is kind of how it is and this is how it's going to be. So from my vantage point, it's like Ethan Hawke was always going to be a long shot in some regard, even though I knew in my mind that he gives one of the best performances of the year. Same with like Regina Hall in Support the Girls. Like I knew there's just no real chance, despite, you know, me believing. And you accept these things, and then you kind of, what's within the realm of possibility? If you're an outside observer who doesn't really track this stuff or hasn't seen every single movie, you might wake up and go, how is The Mule not nominated?
Avengers Infinity War? That was a very specific demographic that you just hit.
Yes, that I did. I wonder if you have any idea what's been on my mind the last couple of days. It's just... So, but you end up getting these compromises or something, and like I'm surprised by the things that are within, yeah, the realm of possibility. So, like, am I disappointed with the Best Picture field? The fact that it's got three movies that I don't really care for in there. Yes and no, because you know I think it could be worse, or I think there have been other times where it has been worse, or I'm okay with knowing that these are the movies that have kind of been, have, you know, elevated to the top. And, you know, it's not like I got my hopes up that something like Mission Impossible would be nominated and then it wasn't. So does that make sense? That maybe that I just need to get out of that bubble and I could be more rightfully pissed about the Oscars and like how they really don't recognize the things that I think are good, but they're never going to satisfy everyone, and that's why I still think they do a good job. And this year, like we said, did well for people of color, maybe not for women, and it still recognized some really good movies, and there were some surprises and some snubs, and that's what it always is.
It's the Oscars is what it always is. I the thing I look at, especially when I'm looking at the Best Picture field, is what movies are going to have an impact, you know, 5, 10, 20 years down the you know, down the line. And so if they won, it would mean something. When, you know, honestly, if Green Book.
And your opinion is something like, you know, The Shape of Water last year, you don't necessarily think fits that bill.
I think Green Book and Bohemian Rhapsody are the same way. That you are, and even to an extent, I think Vice is the same way. I think The Favorite's the same way. I don't think that those movies will, if 15 years in the future you said, oh, The Favorite won Best Picture, you'd be like, oh, okay. I mean, I remember that movie. It was a fun one, but did it really have a lasting impact on, movies to me? I think that Black Panther 100% has that. Black Klansman kind of is in its own realm just because it's Spike Lee. Spike Lee lives in his own innovative bubble. You know, he just kind of that you can't really even categorize that. I think A Star Is Born, it could have that, but at the same time, it also is kind of this blossoming of possibly Bradley Cooper doing more in the directing field. So maybe this is just kind of a step on his trajectory wherever he goes. And Roma, I think, could have that just as this, you know, wonderful love letter by Alfonso Cuarón, even though
Roma
he still has a very career. But at the same time, will it? I mean, what about these movies will
yes,
speak?
Yes, it will. Roma is going to be one of those movies that, you know, I mean, we're going to be making best of the decade lists, you know, right this year and within months. And I suspect Roma will be, you know, rising to the top of that list. And that movie will sustain in a way that none of these others will.
I don't know. I disagree. I think that there's other movies, one in the kind of, this very personal love letter to your past that people, both domestic and international directors, have done in much better ways than this movie, that are much more evocative and much more innovative and much more lasting in impressions. I think that we kind of, again, it is this kind of bias that we see these. I think that it's almost like we're handed this packet of like 30 movies, and these are the movies that we have to think and talk about for the whole year, and we assume that they will have an impact because they had this impact over the last, you know, 5 to 6 months of our discourse, but I don't think that overall it will. I think that they'll fade away. I'm not saying that Roma will just like disappear forever. Like, I think it will still have this resonance with people, but at the same time, like, best of the decade? No, gosh.
Yes, I totally think yes. I disagree with you, and I disagree with, you know, how you're maybe interpreting kind of the mood around this movie, or the way I've seen people write about this is not that it's just some flash in the pan, or that it's just something that Netflix is pushing real hard, or that it's one of these Oscar movies. I know you didn't say that, but I'm just saying, I think, you know, what he does in this movie, you know, I think it's a movie that, yeah, I feel like, how can I only have put it at number 4 on my list? That's going to be the thing that I'm going to be looking back at, maybe, you know, when 5 years from now, being like, how come I didn't just agree that yes, this movie is everything people said it was. A lot of people are up on it right now, but I guess
going back to the point that we are wrapping up with is my take on just looking at the field for this year's Oscars is again what it usually is. The Oscars is what it is. It will never be this catch-all for really, you know, feeling like a culmination of the entire movie year, because there will always be those outliers that people who are much more involved in, you know, whatever you would like to classify as the movie world are watching, whether it's you know, stuff like First Reformed or Eighth Grade that we've talked about on our best of the year list, or it's the people who are much more in, I guess, the category you surmised as the mule people. They were looking for that mule love in the Oscars. But I don't think it's ever going to be a catch-all. It's always going to be a little bit less than what you want. And I think you kind of have to hit that middle ground. And this one seems fine, but I don't know. The Oscars are, I feel like, to me, just as somebody on the outside, it seems to me like it constantly really wants to validate itself as this very, this very catch-all culmination of the movie year. And I don't think it needs to be that. I think it just needs to celebrate the 2018 in movies. And so if you're looking at this right now and going, is this celebrating the 2018 of movies? I kind of have to say no. I don't feel like it is. I don't feel like some of these, especially the best pictures, the big posters that personify this awards ceremony really reflect 2018 in its movies. I mean, am I crazy on that?
I mean, that's where we differ. I mean, yeah, it's fine. I mean, it's going to happen. You know, people have different tastes and stuff. And, you know, mine tends to align more closely with the Academy in some respect. And, you know, if you're like, and I think we get excited that, you know, we would have gotten really excited if, yeah, Ethan Hawke was nominated, or if a few of these other things, you know, popped up in there. I think, you know, the narrative changes a little bit if those things happen. But it didn't. And, you know, I think that what the story will be that, you know, Black Panther is, you know, the biggest movie of the year, and, or the second biggest, and is it for second? I don't know. And
Black Panther is the biggest.
I guess worldwide versus domestic. I'm not quite sure. I think Avengers might have it beat worldwide. Anyway, it's still, you know, the fact that a movie like this could finally break into the Oscar race and kind of validate the genre in a way, you know, over the last 15 years or so that it's been burgeoning and really just taken over the entire pop culture landscape. And now we can finally say, yes, this is the one. This is, you know, it starts to really change things. And I think that's something that the Oscars haven't tapped into in a long time, that to capture the cultural zeitgeist. It's because they've nominated, you know, like movies that have made a lot of money before. And you know, we could look at that. A Star Is Born made a lot of money, and so did Bohemian Rhapsody. But what's different is, like, no, we're actually recognizing the biggest movie of the year. We're recognizing the something that really is a part of the culture in a way that none of these other movies are, and we haven't seen, despite, you know, the last 15 years of how they've dominated. But so I think that's what you can come away with, and I think that is good enough to say, yeah, this is a celebration of the year. Because that would be the story if Black Panther did not get nominated today. Like, you know, it would be, how could the Oscars be so out of touch? And they're not. They're not. And they're getting better, and they're doing, you know, surprising in ways that, and are that the Globes, you know, are never gonna, you know, fully get. And
I'm sure we'll have a post Oscar show. We'll talk a little bit about our feelings on the winners when they finally name those, but it'll be interesting as we go through a couple more weeks of discourse. Now we have some, you know, in stone fields that we can argue about over the next few weeks for a lot of these categories. You know, we're still right now as a show, we're still kind of floating around. So if you are, you know, curious about what's happening, please keep in touch via Twitter and all that good stuff. We usually keep links to that on the Newsreel podcast Twitter feed, as well as the Facebook page. So please reach out if you're missing the show. We're going to be trying to find a new home pretty soon, or doing something else. But we'll be bringing this back soon, and for sure we'll be bringing it back for the Oscar season. Until next time, Brian, we'll try not to get in too many arguments over the Oscars before now and then.
It sounds good.
All righty.